All right, y'all just give me 1 second while we're doing this right here, and I'm going to put this right here, and while I put these on here, I got a reason for it, and I'm going to try to get somebody. I got these seats up here so everybody can kind of see them. You know what I'm saying? And it'll all come about in just a minute, and you'll see what I'm talking about. I want to do something tonight. I prayed about this. Something I don't usually do. I usually just come and preach. But this is preaching. Now don't get me wrong. I'm going to preach to you. But I want you to see something tonight, because in our Christianity and in our churches, a lot of the reasons why we got a lot of the problems we got is people don't even understand being saved and sanctified and filled with the Holy Ghost. People don't understand those things. And if you don't understand, that's why we got confusion everywhere. Now I'm going to put this one. I'm going to put this one here. I won't hurt the flowers. I'm going to put it right there, so you can see that's the. What does that say? What does this one say? What does this one here say? All right. What does this one right here say? World. Okay. Now, I want you to understand something. We're going to try to make a point tonight that'll help you. I'm just here to help you. I got one desire in my heart, and that's to help the church. And the church are you. It's not this building. I like your building. I got a building. You got a building. I think buildings are nice. I'm a building lover. I do. I like buildings. But if I have went to some buildings, I've looked around, and on the way in, I've seen things I'd like to do. I like to touch up paint and maybe fix a carpet. At my own church, I'm looking at some things. But this is not what I'm here for right here. I'm here as a preacher for you. You're the church. It's you. It's you right now. It's each individual warm-blooded person in here that's been born again. You're the church. Now I'm going to attempt to do this tonight, so you just stay with me. And I'm trying to get this to where everybody can see them. Now I need somebody to fill these chairs. This is the hardest thing I've ever had to do in the church. And I had never done it, but my own church. It's just hard to get people, to come up here and do this, But it does work. What's your name? Come here, Brother Jeff. I want you to sit right here, and you're going to become the world. He looked like a world. That's why I kind of got him right there, All right, now I need you right here. No, not you. I need him. What's your name? Jerry. Thank you. He wants to come here, Jerry. You ain't chewing tobacco. You ain't got backer in your mouth, eh? Come over here. All right, Jerry. I don't know about Jerry. I'm having to watch him. I'm always needing somebody. In this seat right here, Jerry. Right here. Yeah.
Well,
that
can be a man.
That's it, exactly, right there. All right, you got boys with you. You're just too young. Come here a minute. What's your name?
Ted.
Ned.
Right.
Come here, Brother Ned. I'm going to put you right here. Now, don't get the big head about this either, you hear me? Sit down right there. He's the flesh. He looks like the flesh, don't he? Yeah. All right. I tell you what I need now. Let's see. I need a. Come here. I want you to sit down right there. I'm not going to put anybody in this chair right here. Who is this? That's God. He's in a chair right there. Now, don't mess with anything. Just sit still, okay? Don't go plundering around, changing my papers or anything like that. And please don't go to sleep. Y'all understand? Thank you for coming. So I'm ready. I'm ready to preach on any situation. I really am. But I wanted to bring something tonight. The Lord really touched my heart about this. And it's like I told the preacher, I don't usually do this, especially in a revival. But God touched my heart about this, and I think it would help us tonight as we're trying to have revival. I'm getting more to the point of believing that this is something I ought to start revivals off with, to be honest with you, and so people could understand some things. I want to have a prayer, and then we're going to get started. Father, we thank you tonight for the mercy of God. It's been sang about, testified about, preached about, and we thank you for your mercy and your grace. Thank you tonight we have the privilege to stand here amongst these people at Morningstar Baptist Church and this dear man of God and his family. And we thank you tonight, Lord. Dear God, to have the privilege and the opportunity, what an awesome responsibility to stand in this holy place, to open up that Bible, your holy word, and to share it with these people. And Lord, if one person or two or three at this meeting get some help to where it changes their life, I'm a strong believer. And the older I'm getting, the more stronger I'm getting in it. I believe in the power of transformation in a person's life by the power of God. I believe that's the real Christianity, that you transform our lives. And the Bible is so much, so full, in the New Testament especially, about us being conformed to the image of Christ and having the mind of Christ, being clothed with Christ. And oh, how I pray tonight that the people of God at Morningstar Baptist Church, that this night, this week, this time together could be a week of transformation in our lives, that after this series of days are over, that there'd be somebody in this church, whoever or how many, but this will go down in history in their life, that the Holy Ghost has made a translation, a transformation in their life, and they're changed and they'll never be the same. I remember, Lord, 49 years ago, almost 50, when you changed my life. Lord, it's been changed. Lord, I've enjoyed the change that you make in every day in my life. And dear God, I pray that you would help people here to come to the place to where they'll submit themselves to you and let you change them. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen, and amen. I want to tell you a story before I start. This is a true story. I might add a little in it, but you don't know the story, so you don't know where I'm adding and taking away. But there was a man that had a bar. It was called a topless bar, for those of you adults. It had a wicked business. And in this wicked business, this man ran it on this street near this church. Well, the church kept praying and kept praying that it would close down. And finally, one day, the pastor got a phone call from the man that owned the building, the club. And he said to the pastor, I'm getting ready to give the club up and move out of the state and go somewhere else. Well, the pastor was rejoicing at that one point. And he said, I felt like I wanted to call you at the church to see if y'all wanted to buy the building since it's near you. Well, the preacher would like to have it because it was a town church and they was trying to buy buildings up because of their size and growth. So finally he said to the man, we'd like to buy the building. But we need to get together on a price. And I need to get my men together and we need to talk about it. So they all met. Then they discussed it. And I'm cutting the story a little short now. They came up with a price. The man said, "This is what I want." The church said, "Okay." They got a lawyer involved in it. They went to the lawyer's office and they sat down in that conference room. The deacons, the pastor on one side, or a representation from the deacons. And then the man sat over here and he had his whoever with him. And the lawyer had all the paperwork together. The church had the check. Now, usually the lawyer does, but I'm telling you, this is where I'm kind of fixing it so you can get a picture. The church had a check, and Joe or Bob or whatever I called him over here has a building. The lawyer says, "Now we've come to an agreement, we've negotiated, and now we've come to a place to where Bob wants to sell the building and the church wants to buy it. I've got a check from the church and I've got a deed from Bob for the building. Now what we're going to do is we're going to sign a few papers and then we're going to change these two pieces of paperwork over." So they signed a bunch of papers and the lawyer gave Bob over here a check that they agreed to pay for the building. He took the deed and he gave it to the pastor. And he said after it was over, he said, "Now you are the proud owner of Bob's bar. And Bob, you are the proud seller of the bar to this church. You got your check and they've got their building. And we're done." So everybody gets up, shakes hands, and they leave the office building. Now this place is still sitting on this street. People still going by it. I left one part out of the little story that I'll tell you now. The church bought the building as is. That means the sign was still up on that street that said Bob's Bar, Topless Bar. You can walk by it and look at all the vulgar stuff, peep through the windows. They were very dark. Some of them you couldn't even see through. But if you were to open the door and walk into this place, there'd have been a real big long bar over there with some empty bottles and some liquor bottles that still had stuff in them and beer. He cleaned nothing up. The church said, "We're going to negotiate." Bob said, "If we're going to negotiate, I'm not touching it. If you want it like it is for that price, that's how you get it." So they bought the building just like it was left. He took only his personal stuff out of the building. Now keep in mind, this is a true story. It is true. And this church purchased it. Well, for several weeks it sat on that street. No change. Still Bob's Topless Bar. Drinking, gambling, any kind of sin probably that man would participate in could be found in some section of this big old building. But the preacher, unbeknown to anybody in that town, was having meetings. He was meeting with an architect. He was meeting with a contractor. He was meeting with his deacons. Unbeknown to anybody, people went by that building, they said, "There's the bar. There's the place where they gamble and do all kind of wicked stuff." But little did anybody know that back over here, up the street a ways, there was meetings being held. Finally one day, the architect came in and he had a rendering of how that building was going to look when it was fixed. And he presented that picture on a tri-holder here. You know what they call them? Tripod. And he had that big old picture up there. You know, churches do that. Our church did it when they built our new building over yonder years ago. They had picture already. In other words, everybody walked by and said, "You mean that's going to be out there?" And somebody said, "Yep."
How do they know it's going to look like that? Because the architect drew it like that. And the contractor's going to build it like that. And when this building's built, it's going to look just like that picture. Boy, everybody got excited. So they hired a contractor. And the contractor got with the architect. And the architect and the contractor began to discuss that building. They went down there and looked it over. They walked through it, ma'am, all over the building. Every room, every place you could go, they went in it. The architect had this and this and this and this and this. And the contractor had a big old roll. Y'all ever seen plans? He had one for the plumbing, one for the electrical, one for the air conditioning. I ain't boring you, am I? It'll be unborn in a minute. So he had about five or six big rolls of paper that showed everything it needed detailed to the inch what had to be done in this building to make it a Sunday school educational building for the church. Well, everybody in town thought it was still Bob's topless bar. They figured he was just on vacation. They figured Bob just closed down for a little while. But then somebody got word. Bob ain't on vacation. Bob left town. He sold the topless bar. Who bought it? Somebody said the church bought it. The church? The church bought the bar? Yep. And they're going to fix it. Now listen to what I'm getting ready to tell you. You got that picture in your mind? As is. For by grace are you saved through what? For by grace are you saved through faith? And that not what? It's a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. That's as far as we Baptists ever go. We shout, we get happy, we get glorifying God, and we forget verse 10. For we are His workmanship, created into Christ Jesus, under Christ Jesus, which God hath before ordained that we should walk, and I'm not changing the Bible, or look like Him. Are y'all with me? Now keep this in your mind right now. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter number 6 and verse 19 and 20, know ye not? Know ye not that your body is what? A temple of the Holy Ghost. Ye are not? You've been what? Bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit. Did you know that when God saved you and bought you, He bought you as is. Now keep with me now. He bought you as is. If you were a drunkard, He bought you when you was a drunkard. We got a lot of people that's got this idea in Ephesians 2:9 satisfies this if you listen to it. Not of works, lest any man should boast. In other words, they looked at Joe and said, don't touch a thing in that building. We'll fix it. Well, Joe said, maybe you let me paint it some. Nope, we don't want you to paint anything. We want it just like it is. Because if you paint something, you'll brag about it. You'll tell everybody, I gave that church a good deal, but I had to paint. You just don't know how hard it was to scrape and paint. Not of wax, as any man should boast. No, you don't quit drinking to get saved. Are y'all listening to me? Well, maybe you was a harlot. Well, I got to straighten up before I can get saved. No, God wants you as a harlot. He saved a harlot back in the Old Testament. He never let her forget that she was a harlot. Because you never find Rahab's name mentioned in the Bible. That it didn't say Rahab the harlot. If she were sitting down by you tonight, she might get happy in the Lord. She might just stand up and say, I just like to say a word, preacher. Preacher say, well, go ahead and say something. She would start it off like this. My name is Rahab, and y'all know me as the harlot. Woo! But God changed me. Hallelujah. Well, glory to God. How many of you drunks have ever did that? How many of you harlots have ever done that? How many of you dope heads have ever done that? Boy, I want to say something, preacher. Go ahead, John. Well, John stands up and says, y'all know me in here. I'm John the dope head, the pothead, the heroin shooter. But God saved me and changed me. But I don't want to ever forget from which he brought me. Ain't that right? I like that, don't you? I like to stop and meditate on that for just a second. That's the whole thing. When God saved you, when God found you, he bought you just like you were. You didn't do anything. You didn't stop anything. You didn't start anything. He got you. He got you just like you were. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God. Not of works lest any man should boast. Now this story is true. This church bought this building. Joe did nothing to it, or Bob, whatever I called him. He sold it to him as is. When God saved you, he saved you and bought you just like you are. Now don't get all quiet on me for just a second, because I got a verse for you. Paul was preaching to that carnal church called Corinth. And in one place, this is what he said. After he got through reading off a list of sin galore, and he said these words, and such were some of you. Now he was looking at this church of people, this Corinth church. I don't know anything about them, but there's a carnal crowd of people. They were so bad, he was going to have to take a stick to them one time. Boy, that's something, ain't it? Preacher going to take a stick to the church. What's that say? Y'all see it over there? It says lost. Lost. Did you know that everybody in this room at one time or another in your life was sitting right here? There ain't a person in this room that came from the womb with any good in them at all. Everybody that came from the womb, but our Savior, everybody that came from the womb came from Adam and Eve. By one man, sin entered into the world. And death by sin. And death passed upon all men. You and I came condemned. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world. Because we were condemned already. Jesus came to die. We're already condemned. If you're not saved in here, you're condemned already. If you're saved in here, you are condemned. God saved you out of your condemnation from the womb. Well, I didn't have, you mean to tell me I was born a sinner and then it's not what I do that's made me a sinner? You're exactly right. Well, that's not fair then. Blame it on Adam and Eve. Well, it ain't my fault I was born this way. It's just what happened. But if you want to take away that, then you've taken away the gift of God. Because it also says by one man, righteousness was given to all men that believe. So Jesus, God said, I know you didn't do it. You didn't do it, but you've got to reap what Adam and Eve done. But I'm not going to let you stay in that. So I'm going to take the initiative and I'm going to pay a price for you. And I'm going to buy you. I'm going to give a sacrifice. I'm going to buy you, Brother Cook. Brings us up to date now. I'm going to buy you. I'm going to pay a price. And you're going to become mine. Boy, is that not great? So everybody in this building, at one time in your life, I hope there's nobody still there. I hope there's nobody trying to fix up their building before God buys it. Because if you are, the Bible says, it's not by works. Because if man works, he'll brag about it. Man can't help but brag about it. It's hard to keep us that are saved by grace from bragging about it, taking a little bit of glory. But we have nowhere to glory. God did it all for us. He saved us in spite of ourselves. But boy, I want to tell you something in here tonight. You do not do one thing. Nothing for your salvation except believe what that Bible says, that you're a sinner. Bow down before Him with the fact that you're a sinner by birth and say to God in heaven, I'm a sinner because of my forefather Adam and Eve, and I've been born in sin, but you paid a price for me, and I want to thank you for doing that, and I want to accept that gift of salvation. Now I want to stop right here and say something, because I don't want to confuse you at all. Most people never see getting saved like that. Unless they got a good pastor and a good somebody working with them at the altar. Because most people come to the altar, quote, getting saved for the fruits of their sin. Oh, I'm a drunk, God. And that's all right to tell Him. But you're not up here getting saved because you're drunk. Now, God knows your hearts. That's why I'm saying I'm being real careful right here. But a lot of times, sir, whatever people come up here and start saying to God they're getting saved from, and in a week or a month or 6 months, if they fall back into it, one of the first things that the devil says to them, you didn't get saved. You already started to get what you went up there for. That's why some people sitting in our Baptist churches come to this altar all the time, not to confess sin, not to get close to God, but to get saved again. And most of you have did it so many times, you won't tell anybody anymore. You just do it. Y'all understand, I'm trying to help you tonight. That's why you have no victory. That's why there's no joy. That's why you try to do everything you can. Sometimes you'll knock somebody over just to do something, just to make yourself feel like that you're doing it. If y'all listen to me tonight, I'll help you. I mean, really, I will. This book will help you right here. God, did y'all know that I'm saved? Did y'all know this? And so, listen, our Baptist people have listened to so many TV preachers, so much radio preaching, so much books that's on the bookstore stuff or online. They've listened to so many of their family. They've listened to so much other denominationalism all over the... And we've left the biblical Baptist teachings of that book and our doctrines, that our Baptist people are so confused that the greatest doctrine in this book is when God bought you. He's never put a return sticker on anybody. Are y'all with me? He's never said, I just can't change them. I've worked on them and worked on them and worked on them, and I just give up, and I'm just going to put a return to the seller. And he hasn't ever, man, sent one of his that he bought back to the devil. Now, I don't have time to get into this right here, but the Bible teaches that there's five crowns. Also, the Bible teaches that there's five chastening places in a person's life. I'm just going to mention this one. The last thing he does after he does this, and this, and it doesn't get your attention, he just takes you on up there where he can deal with you personally. Are y'all with me? There's a lot of premature graves out yonder where God tried and tried and tried through grace and prayer and tenderness, but people were so hell-bent and bent on doing wrong, and they just would not surrender to God. And God said, okay, I can fix you up here, buddy. Now, you might not understand all of that, and I don't have time to explain a lot of it, but this is the point I want to make. It's a dangerous thing to fall into the hands of a living God. Y'all hear me? And are you listening good? Now, I'm moving real fast now. I think I'm doing pretty good. I've got you out of this seat up here, I hope. Everybody in this building was in that seat at one time. If you're in that seat right now, if you're lost and going to hell, you need to get out of that seat and get saved. That's what you need to do. You need it at this, right now. It doesn't matter to me. If you want to come down here and somebody pray with you, you can get saved right now. If you want to wait till the invitation, if you want to wait after church. But I wouldn't leave this property tonight if I was lost after hearing what I'm hearing and simply hearing the simple gospel that Jesus Christ loved you. God paid a price for you, and that was His Son. Now, here's the thing. After you were in this chair, and after 1 Corinthians and Ephesians and other verses, and God buys you, then He sets you down in this chair right here. This brother right here represents everybody that's ever been saved and everybody that's saved at Morningstar Baptist Church tonight. He represents everybody, but we're going to make it here tonight. This man right here is sitting in that chair that represents the body. Now, I'm going to give you my text verse now. You ready for my text verse? We've come a long way already in 30 minutes. We've done good. Now, our text verse is found in Romans. Y'all already know where I'm going. Romans chapter number 12. This is our text verse. So I want you to open your Bibles to Romans chapter number 12. Now, I've given you scripture now. I've given you an illustration, which was a live, true illustration. I'm going to relate back to that illustration because I want it to stay on your mind for just a minute. In Romans chapter number 12. Now, when that church bought that building, keep these words in your mind. What was the agreement with Bob about buying that building? As is. Now, on a human level, whenever the lawyer closed the deal that day, he handed the pastor a set of keys to that building. And that pastor got all of his deacons and some men, and they said after they bought the building, let's go look at it. Let's examine it. So they went down and opened the door to that building, and they walked in, had a whole bunch of keys. When they walked in, the first thing everybody said when they walked in was, "Ooh, man, it stinks." Somebody turned the light on. And they turn a light on, and when the lights come on, it ain't very much light. It's dim. but it is lit. And they begin to look around. To make this story short, they go through the whole building. First floor, second floor, third floor. And they examine room after room, bathroom after bathroom, place after place. And all they can say is, ooh, 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 it stinks in here. Well, when God bought us, the Bible says in Ephesians and in Corinthians that the Holy Ghost of God moved in. When you and I got saved, He moved right in. And when He moved in, and excuse the expression, y'all, don't get super spiritual on me right now. The Holy Ghost said, whew, whew. Are you with me? Some of the stunk more than others did. He had the keys to our life. He began to go through every room in our heart and our life. He began to examine everything. And everywhere He went, all the Holy Ghost could say was, ooh, ooh, ooh. Why did we buy this? Because God said, I love it. And God said to the Holy Ghost, your job is to be the master contractor. I've already got the picture of how they're going to be. I'm the architect. They're going to be like my son. What you hear, what you see, what you smell is right now. Now, please just stay with me. I'm not trying to say He's making the Holy Spirit like a little something or not important. But what He said to the Holy Ghost was, when you get working and you get finished, this stinking place is going to look just like that picture right there. Amen? So when you got saved and the Holy Ghost came into your life, is that not what Corinthians said? Now you can shout on all this other stuff. You best learn to shout on all of it. Your body has become the temple. This building here is the church, and I preach heavy about the holiness of this place. But this is the temple of God. Are y'all with me? God lives here. Everybody that's saved, God lives in you. Now stay with me. Romans chapter number 12. Here's what it says. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your what? Now, I want to tell you something now. Here's something a lot of people don't understand. This will help you in your growth in God. Y'all ever read the verse over there? Y'all probably have read it and went on real quick because it scared you slap to death. It says you cannot sin in 1 John. You know why it says you can't sin? Because in your spirit you can't sin. God's given you a brand new spirit. Hallelujah. And that spirit, the Holy God, the Holy Ghost of God can't sin. He sanctified that spirit, a new spirit. But the body is not sanctified yet. This body is still wicked. And I'm going to read you a verse or two in just a minute to show you some things about that. Here we sit here tonight with a sanctified Holy Spirit in us and a new nature that can't sin. That's what's going out of here. He says in Ephesians that we're sealed until the day of what? In other words, at the day of redemption, This new nature is what's carrying us out of here. And this old body's going to be changed in the twinkling of an eye. But you've got a brand new nature already. That's where the battleground is coming in. Now stay with me. Now, y'all with me? Bob sold the building. The church bought it. The church bought it as is. It means when they went down and looked at it, they could not complain about one thing that Bob left them. Now, they found some surprises. But God never has been surprised. Because God knew what you was when He bought you. That ought to make some of you shout right now. Because God bought you knowing exactly who you are. And may I say this to you? God bought you knowing what you would be in your life as you lived here while He worked on you. God knew when He took this wall out of your life or opened that door, He knew what was behind it, even though you wouldn't tell Him. God knew everything about your building before He ever bought it. Nothing has ever surprised Him or shocked Him, ma'am. Your little secrets, God knows them. We might not know them, but God knows them. Even your new secrets that you've conjured up, He already knew where they were and where they were coming from. Now, I'm saying all of this to help you tonight. Because if we don't get past some of these things, our churches will never be revived because they won't even know how to get right. And they won't know what God's doing for them. All right, here we go. Because I don't want to keep things real, real long. I've got a policy. I like to be short. Now, it's not always worked. But I have that policy. I want you to know I'm agreeing with you sometime when I wish you'd just go ahead and cut it off. I've enjoyed it up to this time, but I'm done. I want y'all to know that I've been up here sometime and saying, God, I know what you I'm done, Lord. He said, no, you're not either. I'm just going on with y'all. Y'all with me? I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your... Wait a minute now, because see, I'm breaking this down for you. You got to get this. In other words, you're asking me to give you back what belongs to you? This doesn't seem right. Paul began to write this letter. Paul was writing moved by the Holy Ghost of God. What Paul was writing was what God told him to write. I beseech you. You know what the word beseech means? It means beg, plead with. I've often been thrown really a real curve with that in my own life. Why did God have to have Paul to beg these people for these Corinthians to live for Him after what He's done for them? And to add a sting to that verse, the Holy Ghost said to Paul, tell them, beg them to give me their body and beg them, watch this now, based on the mercy that I showed them. In other words, He said, Paul, remind them of what it cost me to get them. Remind them what I had to go through to save them. Remind them of all the miracles that I performed to get their salvation. And don't leave out the fact that they need to be reminded that I loved them enough to die for them. Please listen to me. Please listen to me. Based on what He's done for us, He begs this preacher Paul as he preaches to these Corinthian believers who are carnal, living worldly, not judging sin in their own life or the church could be like the preacher said last night. Just wash his hands of us. Like he said tonight, he just keeps going a little further and just a little further and just a little further. Here we are backing up in rebellion, and he comes a little closer and a little closer. And as he gets closer, we keep backing up sometime. But he just keeps getting closer and closer because he loves us. Paul reminded them that I love them. And even though I bought them, and even though they belong to me, I want them to come to me because they respect me and appreciate me and love me for what I've done. Are y'all with me right now? I'm saying that everybody in this room right now is saved by the grace of God. How many of you are saved? Raise your hand if you know it. Don't be ashamed of that. If you died today, you'd go to heaven. Keep them up for just a minute. I want to see who ain't got their hand up. Everybody that's in this building is saved, that knows you're saved. Don't lie to God and don't lie to me. Thank you. Now you listen to me and listen to me well. If you're saved tonight, there's nothing can keep you out of heaven. Are you with me right now? They've criticized us ever since that book's been written to be a people that say we're saved and use it as a what's that word? As a crutch or as a excuse to sin. And that's because a lot of times people that do get saved live like they're not saved. And it's given the world an opportunity to talk about us and judge us. Are y'all staying with me for just a minute? I'm giving a lot of stuff coming in. Just stay with me. So we need to learn that we're saved to the uttermost. We're saved until we get to heaven. That means that's when it's done. So there's nothing in this room right now that you can do that will cause you to be separated as a child of God from God and go to hell. Nothing. Are you with me right now? Now that definitely does not mean you can sin. And let me just whisper this in your ear. As I was riding down the road, the Holy Ghost told me to tell you this. I'm telling you now, He told me to tell you this. I believe Him. I listened to Him. And I was meditating coming down that mountain. And the Holy Ghost interrupted my meditation. And He said, whatever you preach tonight, you be sure to tell those people this. You can sin and get away from it, away with it, for a little while. But I will have mercy on you. But if you continue in your sin, I will jerk the shit off of it. And I will reveal it. Oh, listen. God has never told me to tell a church that. Ever. So I don't know who I'm talking to right now. But I'm telling whoever you might be, if you're here tonight, you best listen to this preacher. Because the Holy Ghost said, you've sinned long enough. You've played around with it long enough. You have messed in it long enough. And I've shut doors. I've shut eyes where people didn't see it. The world's had opportunity and the devil has had opportunity to cause your testimony to be slandered everywhere. But I have shown mercy and blocked that and shut those doors. But if you continue in your sin, you're going to have to suffer the consequences of it. Are y'all with me right here tonight? I'm telling you this because God told me tonight to tell. I'm telling your church this as a man of God. God told me to tell y'all that tonight. So please listen to what I'm telling you. Are you listening? Please take heed to it. Are you listening? Because God says you've sinned long enough. And God said, I will jerk the sheet off of it. And it will be revealed. But up to this point, just you and me know about it. Are y'all with me? Are you with me? You better listen to what God says. I don't usually just pick. I've never done this. I've never said that to a church. Never. But God loves you so much. He's protected you and He's covered your trail so many times. But God said enough is enough. And Reckoning Day is here tonight. Revival is a dangerous thing sometimes. It brings us to a place of a crossroads, man, to where we make decisions, brother and sister, to where it could be a transformation in your life to a new level to walk with God, or it could be a judgment of God and a chastening of God that'll bring shame to you. Are you listening to me right now? And then you'll have to learn to walk in the Spirit for the rest of your days on this earth in the chastening hand of God. You don't hear this told people too much anymore. Some of you have a hard time living for God in His mercy. Wonder if you had to live in His chastening. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you what? Present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reason. It's reasonable for you to do it. It is unreasonable for us to take away from God what belongs to Him and use it any way we see fit when it's His. He bought it with such a great price. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I want our young people, you've got good young folks here, you got a good group of them. I want our young people not to get ensnared by the devil and let him get you into sin and tell you you can't get out of it. Or it's good, enjoy a little bit more, and He'll feed it to you. And you won't even realize He's leading you to destruction, to the slaughterhouse. I want to remind what I just said a while ago to the young people. If the devil's ensnared you in something, confess it to God and get out of it. And run as fast as you can run. The Bible uses the word flee. We're not afraid of it. Remember the building? As what? That's how God bought you. You know who's sitting in this chair right here? You are. I couldn't get everybody in it. He almost don't fit. Are y'all with me right now? Are you listening to me? Ma'am, you're in that chair right there. Sir, son, you're in that chair. Are you saved? You're in that chair right there. That's you, body. God bought you. Young lady, you saved? You're in that chair right there. That's you. It's not just him. That's you, lady. I could call you up here and put you in that chair, but I wouldn't do that. I put him in that chair. You understand, young lady? That's you sitting right there. Ma'am? Sir? That's you sitting right there. You. Right there on the end of that pew right there on the back. That's you sitting right there. Are you listening to me, lady? That's you sitting right there. I'm talking about you on the end down there. That's you right there. Brother Cook, that's you right there. Sir, that's you sitting right there. I could go all over this side the same way, but everybody, that's you right there. Y'all getting the point? Are you getting the point? If you're saved tonight, God bought you. You're not your what? There's nobody in this building belongs to themselves. We have so much left the fact that we belong to somebody else. And we've taken full charge and control of God's property. Now, who is this fellow right here? Who is this fellow right here? Who is this fellow right here? Who is that right there? Who is this right here? I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. Have y'all ever thought about this? Do you know what the word present, another word for that word, is spelled the same way? Some of you smart people in here, tell me, what is it? Present. Isn't that amazing? That's not changing the Bible. But I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you make your body a present to me. And the gift that I gave you, I would love for you to give me a present. And it would be that body that I bought. So what he's really saying is give me the liberty to take that I bought as is and make it beautiful like I want it to be. I beseech you. I beg you to do that, he said. I beg you to do that because I love you. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Not of works, as any man should boast. Verse 10. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto what? Good works, which He hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Sound room people, y'all in this chair right here. So when God bought us, He bought us as is. Amen. And when He bought us, we became His workmanship. Amen. His workmanship. Yes. Now, I hate to say this right here, and I don't want to get into it because it kind of messes my little pretty picture up here. But whether you're sitting in this blooming chair or not, God's going to work on you. And let me just tell you, God's got a way of sending the bees and the hornets and the droughts and the famines and the earthquakes and the storms and the rough seas to get you willing, yes, to let Him work. That's why some of us stay in all kinds of trouble all the time. One day you do good, the next day you belly up. 2 months you're at church screaming and hollering her out and singing and shouting, and for 5 months we can't find you. Up and down. James says you're like the waves. You come in and you go out. I'm not making this stuff up. It's Bible. When you're not settled on something, you're in a mess. You know what I've learned in my maturing in Lord after 50-some years of saved and 50-some years, almost 60 of saved, but 50-some years of preaching and being filled with the Holy Ghost and serving God? I've learned it. When I fall, when I mess up, I've learned, hey, this ain't the end of it. Get up and keep a going and confess my faults and ask God to forgive me. And I've learned it when I come and get up, tomorrow's over with. And I've confessed and He's forgiven and I'm moving on. And that's no reason for me to keep doing stuff. I don't want to get into that right now. Now here I'm about done. Y'all with me? I'm going to hurry up and get through here. Here he says right here. Here you are right here. I'm coming to the close now. Listen to me. I could stay here for several more hours, really, to be honest with you. But I'm closing because I want you to get, I don't want to bore you. Well, where are you at? I want you to get this tonight. Now listen. Here you sit. Here you sit. Have you ever wondered why God had to beg us to give Him what belongs to Him? Huh? You know why He has to beg, ma'am? Here's why He has to beg. Because the flesh wants this body. Because the world wants that body. Satan wants that body. You don't have to present it to them. They get it. They just slide your chair over close enough to him. Come on, I picked a younger man in there. Get up off that seat. There you go. Good night in the morning. That's close enough now. He don't want to hug you. Now put your hand on his arm and hold it. Put that in up there too. You sure you ain't chewing backer? I want you to get up off this chair. I'll give that boy a hard time. I like him. That's the only reason I give him a hard time. I want you to sit down right there. And I want you to put your arm on his arm and hold it. I want you to move right here. And I want you to put your arm on his hand there. His leg, his hand, whichever one you want to hold. You got it? Y'all got it? Y'all got him? Now the picture's, it's like snapping with those old cameras. When you snap it and it shoots that blank out and you just hold it there a minute. And you know what happens? What begins to come about? The picture. The picture begins to come. And you begin. And there it is. And after about 4 or 5 minutes, that picture you snap that was a blank has now come to focus. That's what I'm wanting right now to happen to you. I want what I've been telling you to now become to focus. No wonder God said, Paul, beg them to give me the body. Yeah. I've often wondered, sir, why God has to beg me to give me him, me. But you know what I've learned? Huh? I've learned that three other aliens has got me. Now watch what I'm getting ready to tell you. Satisfying me. For a season. Showing me things I didn't think I'd like, but boy, they're making it interesting. They've got their hands on me. Paul, you need to beg them. You need to remind them of what I've done for them and who I am. And I love them. And it's my body. Don't let them have it. It's mine. Beg them, Paul, to give themselves to me. If there wasn't a world, if there wasn't a devil, if there wasn't a flesh, we wouldn't have a bit of problem giving ourselves to God. But isn't it amazing that God saved us and left us in this old corrupt body and didn't change our flesh? He left the devil here and the world is here. Is this making any sense to you? What about you? What about you, man? Is it making any sense to you? You hear me now. Who's sitting in this chair right here? We are. You are. There we sit. I call this message the war zone. Because you know what our bodies become when we get saved? It becomes the war zone. Because He wants it. He wants it. He wants it. And God wants it. Now listen now. Y'all have listened good tonight. This has been so good. Still quiet. I like that. But watch this. I'm about done. The flesh. Did you know if you ever read the things about the flesh? The fruits of the flesh. Did you know that if the flesh didn't have a what? Did you know the flesh couldn't commit adultery? How do you have two invisible somethings making whatever? Huh? You can't do that. You got to have. He has to have a what? To cause people to commit adultery. He's got to have a body to make fornication come to light. He's got to have a body for somebody to be vulgar and cuss and gamble and kill. He's got to have a body. This guy's got to have a body. Without a body, he's useless. He's helpless. So just as much as God needs a body, he needs a body. That's why God said, I'm begging him to give me back that body. The flesh says, no, no, no. I'm going to make you feel good. I'm going to promise you everything. You don't want to go anywhere but right here with me. Are y'all listening? That's why we got people right now in our churches. They don't know what's up or what's down anymore. They don't even understand. Because when they got saved, they thought, boy, I thought everything was going to be okay. I thought if I started going to church and tithing was faithful, that I wouldn't have any real, real bad problems. And I wouldn't be right now looking at losing my house. I wouldn't even right now be looking at me and my husband fighting. That's our kids going crazy. But y'all got to understand, that's not being saved. We're saved. We've got to learn to live. These fellows are going to corrupt everything about you if you're not careful. I'm hurrying now. I'm moving on. I'm leaving some stuff to the side so I can get you the thought. Who is this? Do you know what the world is, y'all? Listen, it's not the birds and the bees. It's a philosophy. It's what the world thinks. That's why when we say when God buys somebody that's had a couple abortions or they've been to bed with several people, men or women, and in this day and time, it don't matter. But let's say they've tested and tried all kind of stuff. Let's say they kind of agree with some of it. Let's say they get saved and they sit down in the house of God. And God bought them, son, just like they were. A murderer, killing baby. Fornicator, they've laid in bed with several people. But God bought them just like they are. Now when God bought them and paid for that sin, the Bible says in Romans 12, 1 and 2, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, and then it goes to verse number 2, be not conformed to this what? But be ye transformed by the renewing of your what? It didn't say anything about actions. That's these two guys. This fellow right here is the one that thinks of it. Are y'all listening? So your preaching and my preaching helps change people's minds. Some of you come into church and you think, this is the way I think. Well, you hang around long enough, and according to the Bible, you're going to get a rude awakening. Because that's why sometimes people try to change us instead of the Bible changing them. Are y'all with me? So I'm saying this, and I told you I was going to hurry. This is your thinking. Your thinking, what you think of things. Sometimes what you think of things aren't all the time right. And especially if you just got saved and coming out of a hellish wall, 90% of your thinking is not good. And God begins to preach and help you to change your mind. But the world don't want you to change your mind. So he's going to hold on to that body. He's had it for a while. And over here's Satan. Oh, let me tell you something to you about this world now and this flesh. I got to say this before I go anywhere else. And I'm about done. That's five times. I usually quit on the seventh one. Are y'all with me? Now listen to me and listen to me well. Did y'all know that if the flesh in the world didn't have a body, that the fashion styles would go out? Did you know? You know why the world and the flesh and even the devil loves this body so much? Because if they didn't have a body, they couldn't publicize their designs. They've got to have a body to put that skimpy stuff on. They got to have a body to show a thigh and a leg. They got to have a body with bosoms to show a breast. They got to have a body to decorate up. If they had no body, you'd know not what to buy. Are y'all with me? Is that simple? You know why they holding on to this body that God owns so much? They'd go out of business if they didn't have a body. Busch Brewery would go under. The liquor store would be bankrupt tomorrow because it takes a body to drink liquor. It takes a body to commit adultery. It takes a body to commit fornication, to cuss, to gamble. Y'all know the story. But you're getting the picture now, aren't you? Paul, tell them, remind them, and don't you start getting this super spiritual stuff and getting angry at God. You do the same thing with your kids. There ain't a parent in here that ain't ever looked at their kids and said, not a parent in here that's never done it. And looked at their kids and said, do you not know what I do for you? That bed you sleep in, I wash it. It's yours. I bought it. That food you eat every day, I buy it. You ain't eat. There's not a parent in here that's never reminded their kids of what they got. What you're really saying is, I want you to love me and listen to me and mind me. I'm looking out for your well-being. I want you to be all right and saved. This is what you're really saying in your anger and your screaming. You're saying, based on my mercy to you. That's what God's saying. Based on me feeding you, clothing you, saving you, watching out for you, blessing you, give me back my body. Some of the bodies that belong to God that's got their name on Morningstar Baptist Church's roll are not here. Some of them are out yonder in the world right now. And he got them, he got them, and he got them. And you see some of them, they don't look like they ought to look. Not that we judge them. They don't say things that we think they ought to say. And they're in places that they shouldn't be. You know why? Because they won. But did y'all know that God's going just a little further? And unbeknown to you and me, as we look at him and judge in our judging way, maybe in our mind, hopefully not with our tongue, but maybe in our mind we're judging and we're saying, God, they didn't used to do that. They didn't used to look like that. They didn't used to act like that. God, unbeknown to you and me, marking them off or maybe not can even help them or don't want to be around them. There's one that bought them as is and loves them and doing a work on them and got a covenant with his son that they'll be saved forever. And he moves a little closer and a little closer. And while they're at home or riding down the road or being in wherever they are, something the Holy Ghost does shakes them up for a little bit. I don't know if y'all even understand what I'm preaching right now. But boy, I see the full picture. Y'all can let him go now. Who's got you tonight? Who's got control? Does this mean tonight that once I give my body to Him, that it's a one-time deal? No. Because these three aliens right here, illegal aliens, are not going to let you do it all the time and not let you alone. That's why that this seat right here is called the war zone. Because this is the war place. Because this is the battleground. I want y'all to know something. Lady, I want you to know something. It's a battle to let God have yourself. It's a battle to say no to the world, to the flesh, and to the devil. Now we're getting ready to go home. Miss Jen, you want us to come up to the piano? I have tried to be obedient to God tonight in two places. I've tried to be obedient in presenting this message. And I've tried to be obedient in warning whoever in this church that one of these or three of these or two of them has got you in a mess right now. And you best get out of it. And the only way to get out of it is not what you've been trying to do after you get satisfied and it's gone and you get guilty and you try to say, I'm not going to ever do it again. You've been doing that now for quite a while. But God says you've done it long enough. You better come to me. The only way you're going to get help is come to Him and give it to Him. You're going to have to quit trying to do it. You can't do it. You've done found this out. You can't do it. You can't do it, buddy. And if you're not careful, God's going to yank the sheet off of it. Some of you youngins is going to embarrass your family when God yanks the sheet off of it. You're scaring me, preacher. I hope it does scare you. I wished when I was younger, I'd have had somebody. They probably were out there, and they were. I just never had them around me to tell me, you better quit it. Because I spent a lot of my younger Christian life trying to fight it and fix it. But what a blessing it was the day I found out that I can't fix it. God has to do it. Now I want to say something to you. We're getting ready to go. Time is not an essential right now if we're getting right with God. Now, it doesn't mean by what I've said, whoever comes to this altar has got something you confess it. I don't want to put it like that so it scares you, because people are fickle and they're scared. Easy to scare. You can come to this altar and nobody's going to think you're getting ready to get the sheet jerked off. But I want to give you an invitation tonight, all of you, to be willing tonight to say to God, I'm yours, God. I'm going to tell you how to say it now. You listening to me? You don't have to come up here and figure out what to say. I'm going to tell you. God, I'm glad you bought me and paid for me. And I'm glad you bought me just like I am. Boy, I sure need help tonight. Because what you bought me tonight, Lord. And I've been trying to fix me, but I can't whip these fellas, Lord. They're bad to the bone. And about the time I think I've got one of them whooped, y'all can come if you want to. You can come. You don't have to just sit down and look at me, because I promise you tonight, there's a lot of people sitting in these pews tonight that's not just, you've got battles, not that you're in deep sin. Oh, I don't want to have to go through that to get you to come. You say, you're just trying to get people at the altar. I sure am. I'm not a bit...